You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Connor Rogers, you can see his work all over Bleacher Report, joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. Connor, thank you so much. Always great to have you on a Saturday. How you doing, my friend?
Always great to talk to you, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. Let's rewind before we look forward. And for the last 10 minutes, I was just talking about how, like, I don't know about you, going into the season, I didn't expect the Giants to win the division. I thought they would go 8 games at best. Maybe they get in as a wild card, maybe not. So, you know, the fact that they're 0-2, I'm not all disheveled about it. The positive that I take from this last game is how great Daniel Jones played under all that adversity. A makeshift offensive line. They were trying to, like, you know, make chicken salad out of chicken poop in the 11th hour. Drop balls. Washington defense getting after him. To me, if the season ends where the Giants only win 6 or 7 games, but we answer the Daniel Jones question, to me, that's a successful season. Now, granted, I'm not a fan by the definition, but that's how I see things. Am I totally off base here or not?
No, I don't think you're off base here, right? We got a lot of football left to play, and as always, you know, as we witnessed, in the same town with the Jets last year, they had a quarterback that they didn't think was necessarily the problem. But they thought they found a better solution because they were picking number 2 in a great quarterback class with Zach Wilson. So, you know, that could happen to the Giants. That, let's not forget, they have the Bears first rounder, which is really nice. That if they love a quarterback in this class and think he has a higher ceiling than Jones, and they have a new GM, these are all, you know, hypotheticals that can happen, then they can move in another direction. But if they think that they can continue to build this offensive line and a lot of other pieces around Jones, that maybe he's not the problem, right? Because Thursday night, you're right, he was not the problem. And it's no coincidence, Anita. This is the best I've seen this offensive line play in a long time, quite frankly. So when the offensive line is better against a really good front, Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, they are just loaded up there in Washington. And the Giants held their own, at least, and gave him some time and allowed him to run the offense. I don't love the play calling from Jason Garrett either. So there's a lot that, you know, I'm not the biggest Daniel Jones fan, but there's a lot that's not going his way around him that's kind of out of his control. So the Giants have a really interesting situation on their hands the rest of the year, specifically with Daniel Jones.
Just to give you some stats here, as we know, he was sacked 4 times. By the way, all of those took place in the first half. So love the adjustments that were made in the second half. His depth of target, Connor, was 11 yards. Really impressive. Majority of quarterbacks in the NFL range from anywhere between 6 to 8. 11 yards, 80% completion percentage under duress, which he was a lot. And he had 4 drop balls, by the way, and then that 1 rushing touchdown that was called back because of the hold. I'm telling you, I get it. I understand. I'm not a fan. I'm not in that realm. I don't have that type of mentality when it comes to this team. I'm more of somebody who's, you know, a media analyst. To me, the positive is this is the best game, even though the Giants lost, it's the best game that I've ever seen Daniel Jones play. Connor?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. A lot of people will point back to, right, when he had the 5 touchdown performance, I think also against Washington. But this one just felt different because of the situation they were in and the adversity that he was facing. And, you know, at the end of the day, when there's losses like this, the target's not going to be on Daniel Jones. There's a lot of issues. This team doesn't look disciplined under Joe Judge, which has been his, you know, 1A message from day one. The defense has been, you know, okay. I think there's great expectations for them, especially last year. And I think, you know, they're not really getting the run game going. I think Saquon needs a little time, too, to get his legs back under him. So I'm not going to overreact to that one. So it's going to be a really interesting season for the Giants because I'm with you all the way what you opened with, Anita. I didn't have expectations that they have to win the division or that I thought they were right around 7-8 wins this year. And then more of the decision goes to probably not Daniel Jones, probably not Joe Judge, but probably Dave Gettleman. If you allow him to draft in a year where not only do you need to hit it out of the park to get things going moving forward, but you have 2 first round selections.
Again, Connor Rogers joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So the Giants, they take on Atlanta next week, and Atlanta's got a big matchup coming up this week against the Bucks, I think they get their butts handed to them. So I do anticipate the Giants to win next week, and I do anticipate them to be 1-2. We'll see what happens as they move forward. But let's take a look at what's going on with the Jets taking on the Patriots, right? Like, the Mac Zach era begins tomorrow. I'm really, really excited about it. As we know, I mean, you know, these two guys are going to be facing each other twice a year for the next, I don't know, decade. And as we know, Jets took Zach at 2. Mac fell to the Patriots at 15. I think for the remainder of their career, these two guys are going to be compared to one another. I'm curious to get your thoughts. After week one, what are your thoughts on Mac? What are your thoughts on Zach? And what are your expectations heading into tomorrow's game?
Well, I thought, considering their situations, both performed well. And a lot of people will kind of bat an eye towards that when you say it with Zach Wilson, with the pressures that he faced in the first half that was kind of an egg. But the second half was very good, and the protection was very, very bad. And he just made the most out of it. And that's kind of Zach Wilson's calling card, is that he can make something out of nothing. You see the scrambles. You see the throws down the field. And right now, the reality of the situation is the Jets are half of the roster that New England has. They just, you could see it across the way, whether it is the offensive line, whether it is the coaching, and the Jets are a new coaching staff, so they need the benefit of the doubt there, but also how the defense plays and how disciplined the defense is. And you could see it on film. The second half with Zach Wilson was, I'm going to have to make something happen, and he did. Obviously, the last drive was his best. But even the rollout when things broke down, and the long touchdown to Corey Davis. And then with Mac Jones, it's a totally different situation. And it's not to take away from him, because he did a good job within the structure of the offense. But it's a lot of, I am coached to not make a mistake here. Whether I have, you know, I'm going to take my outlet when it's there, even if it's a 5-yard dump off. I'm going to take my outlet when it's there and take the 6 yards. And his best big throws were in the middle of the field, and those were impressive. And I think, you know, Mac really, really has great situational awareness on third downs, whether it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 7. He understands where the marker is, when the ball has to be out, and to get it there. So they're very different things that I liked about each of them. But I think this game on Sunday, as much as I think the Jets are going to hang tough in a lot of games this year and be really competitive, I think they're just not in the same place Bill Belichick's Patriots are right now. Taking the two quarterbacks completely out of the equation.
Yeah, you know, the stat line in regard to rookie quarterbacks and what happens when they face Bill Belichick: 31 games, only 54% completion percentage, 25 touchdowns, 43 interceptions. It's evident Zach is going to be in for a really, really long Sunday, I believe. It's going to be interesting. Big picture here, let's talk about some of the other exciting matchups heading into week two, and probably none more exciting than Sunday night with Kansas City going up against the Baltimore Ravens. I really like Kansas City here. The line is at 3.5. I don't necessarily like betting the hook, so if anything, I'll buy it down. Really, the play here for me is I like Kansas City -2.5 at the half, and I also like the team total over 28 points for Kansas City in the game. But what are your expectations? I mean, it's like, I want to say 90% of the public money is all over Kansas City. That is quite frightening. How do you see that game playing out on Sunday night?
It is frightening, but this, I'm going to be honest with you, Anita. This is one of my favorite games of the week, and I'm on the Chiefs. I just look at Baltimore. They're so beat up, and it's bad news every day. Now, Ronnie Stanley, for an offensive line that didn't look any good against the Raiders to begin with, we know they're down receivers. They're down a million running backs. This defense is, I know it's coached this way, but they have to send the house to get pressure. And I don't know. I just look at this and go, there's no reason. The only reason Vegas even thinks this game ends up being close, as you see with the line, really making it even because Kansas City is going on the road, so that 3.5 points, is because of the Ravens' reputation and how they're coached. But on paper, this should be at least a 2 field goals game or a touchdown game for the Chiefs. They're healthier right now. I think their front can really, really devour the Ravens' front. Speaking to their defensive line, we know what Mahomes can do. There's no questions there. They're also down corners. They're down positions everywhere, Nita. So I look at this one and go, man, this is definitely one of my favorite picks of the week. I would say the Chiefs, Seattle, and the Bengals would be my 3 favorite picks of the week.
Yeah, I do like the Bengals this week against the Bears. Probably my favorite is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you kidding me? Against the Raiders, I think the Steelers really destroy the Raiders this week, especially all the injuries that the Raiders are facing as well, with Josh Jacobs being out, Denzel Good is out on the offensive line. Not sure if Incognito is going to play against that Pittsburgh Steeler front four that was able to really rattle Josh Allen's cage with just four rushers, which, by the way, leads me to the game. Before I let you go, I'm curious to get your thoughts. This Bills-Dolphins game is interesting. I've got the Bills winning the Super Bowl. That was my Super Bowl pick. Bills against the Rams. Bills win the Super Bowl. Man, again, I shared the stat. Teams that start 0-2, even in a 17-game season, okay, have a 1.2% chance of winning the Super Bowl. So I need the Bills to win this matchup. You know, obviously, like I said, you've I think people are underestimating just how good that Pittsburgh Steeler pass rush is. And that was the elixir that I felt really kind of threw the Bills off. This is going to be a different matchup with the Dolphins. I like the Bills -3 this week. What are your thoughts on this game? Do you think the Bills start off 0-2, Connor?
I don't. I'm with you. I like the Bills covering in this game. I at least like them winning, but if I had to pick, I'm picking them to cover the 3, 3.5 that's moving around a little bit. I just look at this. There's no way that team it comes in flat, and I don't even care that they're on the road. Is Miami a place that scares you as a road team? No, it hasn't. Until it is, they're not going to have that reputation. I think the Bills' defense is really going to do a good job containing this Dolphins' offense. I think we see the real Josh Allen this week. You know, everybody kind of panicked over last week, and you nailed it. Everyone is going to look bad against the Steelers' defense, literally every single team. The question with the Steelers is, can they score enough points this week, this year? But they'll always play good defense. I think the Bills are going to come in with their hair on fire a little bit in this game. They're going to kind of want to prove a point. They're going to want to get that loss from week one behind them, and they're going to cover this line. And then their foot is going to kind of be on the gas in this division. So no panic with the Bills. I think they pretty much coast in the AFC East, which I know sounds crazy after week one, but they'll be fine.
Connor, thank you so much. Always great when you join us on the program. Why don't you let our folks know out there, where can they find you on Bleacher Report? I know you also have a podcast.
Sure, at Connor J. Rogers on Twitter, the Badlands Podcast, and everything at Bleacher Report. Thanks so much, Anita.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.